It just, it got to this point where it had, a lot of things fell into place, and the team has fallen into place, and the home office team is coming, and I have lots of support, and the partnership with Allison has been one of the most amazing thought partners, and also like in-person session planning and handoff has been phenomenal. Sarah has found her partner in human resource efforts, which has been wonderful. But this home office team and the leaders at all the three sites are, I think we've hit a set state of efficiency and productivity that I'm really excited about that I have to share. So that was kind of an exciting moment to share. I want to thank Anthony, Ken, and Kathy, and anyone else who's gotten to participate in hearings and board meetings around ECHS2. Our last hearing was a couple weeks ago, and it was really wonderful. Anthony and Ken participated in these sessions before and are great partners. It was also really wonderful to have Kathy there as an educator and partner. So as a parent, she speaks with so much passion for the experience of her child and her children in our schools and what it means. So it was wonderful to have you there, and thank you all three of you for being there. And we all learned a lot about how to be succinct from Ken in his participation in the board meeting. He was just very thorough and to the point with, you know. It was lovely. So thank you. We find out on March 3rd about ECHS2. Hopefully very soon we'll find out about facility options, and depending on what our facility opportunities are and the approval of our petition, we're going to decide how to move forward.
So is there a hearing on March 3rd? Or?
Yes.
Not a hearing, but a final decision, a board meeting.
Okay. Yeah. People come.
Are we looking for people to come?
No, I think the recommendation from the county won't come out until the Friday before the meeting. So it doesn't give us a lot of time. So we're prepping to bring people to the meeting. But given the state of the and the feeling, like even though there's a positive. I said even though there's a like. We have a great relationship with our authorizer. There's still this, there's a lot of politics around expansion at this moment in time. And so cognizant of that, we're not really sure what's going to happen.
Yeah.
So we are planning on bringing people. We'll work with the charter school's office to let them know how many people. I'm working with Dave right now to identify parents and students and teachers that may want to attend from Gardena specifically. And yes, we welcome board members to come and show their support.
The benchmark chart has become a very regularly used item in all of my meetings with all of my direct reports, which has been really phenomenal, and I'll spend some more time going over it with you. But it has also helped us to recognize certain things that were falling behind, whether it was an enrollment or suspensions were going up too high. It's definitely triggered behavior that's been, it's just become a really, I use it every day kind of tool sitting on my desktop, and I'm very grateful for it. And I actually shared it at the Accelerator Conference, and I'm sure there's going to be lots of staff members at a lot of other organizations who are going to hate me soon, because I shared it with a couple of other leaders at the Accelerator Conference, and they're like, oh, this is amazing, this would change my life. And it really has, because I feel like I'm aware of what all the measures that I should be looking at and where they're at every month. But it was funny because I'm sure they'll take them home and their staff will be quite disgusted by it.
Who else uses that dashboard for now?
I'm using it very frequently in my meetings with principals. I use it in my conversations with Jeremiah, with Sarah, with Allison. It's with the directors. We look at it regularly. So it's just it's getting to the point that it's broadly used. You're going to receive our seasonal newsletter shortly, and
and you'll see that it's the second section in the newsletter again. It was last in the winter, and it'll be the second section again. So those RA priority is the first section, the second section is the benchmark chart. So now all staff are getting it every quarter as well. So it's just an awareness of what do we care about and what are we looking at. Priority reading apprenticeship. We've conducted site visits without fail every week at all the school sites to observe how we are doing with our implementation, which has meant that I've spent about 6 hours a week doing site visits for the last, much of this year. That's been amazing. It's helped me stay connected with the school sites and to recognize trends, but also trends in implementation. And then we adapt professional development based on the trends that we observe, so that's been really helpful. And you'll see some data on that in the benchmark chart. We're looking to add 3 more board members, both to increase diversity on our board, but also add additional expertise. I want to appreciate Denise because she brought Dr. Huey Barnes here. She is a BDD and a professor at Pepperdine and has extensive human resource experience. Is also just a lovely
in government
being. Yes, and is
in government.
Thank you.
She's just a lovely human being who's dedicated a lot of her life to social services, and we'll send her on her bio, but we're very excited. She's very excited to join us. I told you guys about Dr. Chatwani before, and most recently, Kennedy Delario, who's the CEO of Children of Promise and was previously the CEO of Environmental Charter Schools during the period that Allison wasn't in the role, has also accepted board membership. So that's going to be a really great addition to our board.
Not accepted. They haven't accepted board membership.
They've expressed desire to and will be coming to our April 16th meeting. So then, the accelerator program through Achievement First, our final session, so this has been a 2-year commitment, is what led us to do a singular priority. Which is the program that's sort of aligned with the 4 disciplines of execution and everything that we kept reporting to you. We're having our last session in April, so that's been, that's been pulling us out for 4-day sessions throughout the last 2 years, 2 to 3 times a year. So that's happening. Beth and several assistant principals have been, no, 2 assistant principals have been at the Standards Institute, which is a institute that focuses on the intersection between standards and social justice and helping educators recognize that standards are a social justice means to achieving social justice. So all of them have reported back that we should send more teachers and educators in the coming year, and that's going to be, I think, an exciting partnership. We had for the 3rd year in a row, a snafu with our W-2s, with incorrect W-2s that were sent out through our partner at KCOM, which is really frustrating because it reflects poorly on ECS Home Office. So after some intense conversations, we negotiated that they're returning all of the fees associated with W-2s to us. They're sending an apology to all of our staff, and we are also probably going through a bidding process. So this is just to put that on your plate that we will.
Yeah.
And that's going to probably be a significant effort because changing your human resource system is a big effort, but I think it's time for us.
We just left PayPal.
Yeah.
We moved to a different platform, literally a few weeks ago.
Yeah. What happened? It's been a number of errors over and over again, and it's really frustrating for staff, but it's also frustrating that we make so much effort in improving customer service on our side to support all the schools, and then they make an error that reflects poorly upon us. So
it's their core competency.
Yeah.
Yeah,
so it's not like it's an add-on service. It's what they do.
Yeah.
So, you should do it exceptionally well.
If you have recommendations for who we should be going out to bid with, we welcome them. I've heard several recommendations for Paylocity.
We just moved to Paylocity.
This is the first person
so bizarre.
People.
thing I was gonna work on.
And that's who I worked with before and I love. So if you have others, we're going after it, so that'll be
good.
And then EDC efforts, just to bring you up to date. We have continued efforts at school sites, so that's the Equity Diversity Committee. We've continued efforts at the school sites, though we haven't had a committee meeting since Danielle's absence. But a few things are happening across the organization. One is that at our next board meeting is almost solely going to focus on implicit bias and structural racism on April 16th. We want all of you to be here.
No, I can't be here.
There's going to be some free work and self-assessment, and if you could call in, that would be good.
So what's your point?
There's going to be an several staff members in the home office are participating in anti-racism training, which is the 9-month course. And then Ken just wants to also do a session for our cabinet February 26th. So we're kind of excited about bringing this up for all different levels of leadership. Ken just has worked directly with school sites before, as has his partner Tyrone Howard. So what's exciting is about doing this at a leadership level and at a board level. So any questions on all of this before we go to the benchmark chart? So I wanted to spend some time going deep on the benchmark chart and sharing some of the things that I see with you before we do our strategic session. Do you guys all see this on your screen? Okay, so we're going to start at the top. What you're going to see is that for the first 3 months of this year, September, October, and November, for our priority, our lead measure was, were site visits happening and what was our fidelity of implementation on site visits and going into classes and observing RNs and residents. Now, as we headed into December and January, we're assessing what are these site visits leading us to measure the classroom implementation. So if you look at those levels, you'll see that it's on a 4-point scale. 3 is meets expectations. In December, when we went into classrooms, in the high school, we were at a 2.67, in Gardena at a 2, and a 2.5 in Inglewood. And you'll notice that both of the other school sites have seen some increases in the ratings on metacognition. The high school saw a decline during the same period of time, but that these aren't the same teachers that are being observed, so there's going to be some variation over time. Our hope and our expectation is that in the long term, on top of that, January was intercession for the high school, so it wasn't very much reading apprenticeship aligned. So our hope is that over time we'll continue to see an increase in both metacognition and discussion ratings at those levels. But what you're going to see if you look in the notes column is that 8% of teachers are scoring very strong exceeds at a 4. 40% are at proficient.
Teachers.
Yeah, so this is an assessment of are they implementing reading apprenticeship strategies, whether or not it's happening in the classrooms, based on our site visits that include multiple leaders and the principals and assistant principals. And then 48% are foundational, and then only 4% are do not meet. So it shows that we're in a place that there's going to be significant growth in the coming months.
Are these numbers, the 271, the 275, each month progressively, are they going to be new teachers being evaluated, or is it going to be a cumulative average over time? How does the number work over the course?
It's going to be the average of that month, so that we can hopefully see growth, and if we're not seeing growth, we can bring that back to to the teachers and say, well, it's the same teacher.
Oh, I thought you said they were new teachers.
Yeah, you said they were different. No, like, you'll only get to see in a month about 12 teachers that you're ranking. So at the high school, first of all, there was intercession, but there's more than 12 teachers. So there's some variation. I was just trying to explain the difference at the high school. It's not all of them every time at the high school.
Not all of them every time.
Okay.
Wait, why are the earlier months in percentages?
Because the earlier months, I said that we were focused on the fidelity of the implementation of site visits, and now we're focused on the fidelity of the implementation of RA in classrooms.
Oh.
So it was before we were ready to start measuring classroom work, and we were just reporting on how much we were doing. Then we go to the...
How do you feel about
that? I feel like they don't adequately depict the growth that I'm seeing in my site visits. So I think there's an element of we're becoming more... our expectations are growing with time as well. Because from my walkthroughs, I feel like there's a higher level of engagement and a higher level of rigor in most of the classes that I'm walking through.
Is this discouraging to them when they see this? Do they get to see this?
They do get to see this, and they get to see it on a more personalized level because they get their own scores. And they get detailed feedback on what was observed and what could be improved and strengthened. And we're doing a better job of linking it to coaching to hope to see more improvements. I have experienced an improvement in the feeling towards site visits, but and we've also shifted the way we do it. So we've responded to teacher feedback. Before it was a very like, you walk into your classroom whenever and do the visits. Now they're getting to sign up for times, and that I think they're responding better to that because we're definitely seeing RA every time rather than just catching them whatever they were doing. Mm-hmm. Yes.
I've heard Dave and you, and I think Geneva used the word fidelity. So when you guys are using it, do you mean like the efficacy of the programs or the validity?
A commitment to a validity, I think. It's a commitment to the actual expectations of the framework of Reading Apprenticeship. And when I was just talking about fidelity, it's like about our site visits. Were we implementing them? Were we measuring teacher behavior at every meeting? Were we giving feedback after each session? Were we communicating to all staff? So it was an assessment of whether or not we were fulfilling the goals. And
it does tie into our effectiveness as leaders of providing professional development and support to the teachers to see if they're implementing it with fidelity effectively. I think when we get the data from like CASP and NWA and all those things, we can see how it's connected to the student achievement. But right now we definitely have seen a positive, more stride in teachers, and they knew when they were gonna come. We were a little nervous, like, oh, well, they kind of put on a show for us. But if you do that a couple times and you see growth in your students, you may do it multiple times. And we're starting to see that with that high expectation of, oh, well, you scheduled this and you didn't do RA, we will be back. They're like, oh, okay, no, I understand. So I think it's better than just popping in. Lately, we started that in January.
And if you look at our lead measures for the RA implementation, that's rows 26, 27, and 28. I'm on it right now, pointing at it. You can see that on the NWEA at Inglewood during this period of time, in ELA, there's been a pretty significant growth. So they went from 43% who are at the college at the 50th percentile based on the national norms, and now to 48%, which is a 6-point increase on the NWEA. Gardena saw a 2-point dip, but there has been a lot of transition. We're looking forward to seeing our IAB data as well. Then a lot of what you saw on the benchmark chart that Casey showed you for the high school is depicted here on the attendance, suspensions, expulsions, chronic absenteeism, and exits. We did go over this stuff a little bit at our last meeting, but what you can see is that there are some improvements in the rates at which both attendance has gotten better. ECHS suspensions are way, way down, as she mentioned, only one, down from 14 last year in the whole year. So if we continue that rate, we're way ahead. We've spoken about Gardena and Inglewood, but as you can see in the last 2 months, there's been very few. Then we go to chronic absenteeism. I think that when we look at that number at Lawndale at the high school, it's going to improve next month as well, because we're going to be recouping ADA and delivering support to hospital care students. Those are chronically absent. And we have had some exits, and we're continuing to track that. But look, this is like everything I should be looking at every month, which is great. We already covered RA, and now we come to SATs. We already did that at the last board meeting. Nothing has changed on these. Nothing has changed on the college. All of these things that are in gray, I really don't need to spend time with you on, because they don't change until the end of the year. There is one thing I wanted to say, that on lines 55 and 56, you'll see that I moved it from a red to an orange, because I felt like we actually need to recognize the fact that both of our middle schools have either closed the gap or very close to closing the gap for African American students. The gap for our high school is still very significant, but there needed to be some shift in color, I felt, to recognize the improvement at both of our middle schools. And then we go down to LPAC. We're going to skip the LPAC data right now, because that's not entirely up to date. And we're going to improving retention of African American students. And so the first three is the percentage of the entire student population that's African American. And what you can see is that Gardena over the last few years has decreased significantly. So it went from 15.2%. to 12.3%, while during the same time in Inglewood, it's gone from 7.6% to 12.6%. So there's been an increase in Inglewood, which is wonderful. The high school has stayed flat at a very low percentage, and that's something that we're trying to hopefully address. And then we look at the percentage of students that are exiting who are African American, and in Gardena, that was a stressful point in December, because out of 10 students who exited, both 10 being very high, but 3 of them were African American, so that's a higher portion than should have been. At the same time, the high school has retained a very low portion of African American students who are leaving, and same with Inglewood. Something very exciting to report to you is we've got this new data from HR. It's exciting and also sad. First of all, is that these two depict our turnover in the last 2 years. So in 18-19, we hired 75 individuals, which is 80%. I'm sorry, and 80% of them were people of color, but 75 out of 160 is a really high percentage, right? So that's kind of a crazy realization.
Across the organization?
Across the entire organization.
Wow.
Then last year, we hired 42 people, and 71% of them were people of color. So our hope is that in the next year, we're going to see a reduction in the number of people that we're hiring, and maintaining a high percentage who are people of color who represent our student population. That's our aspiration.
So just curious, so that's 127 people in the last 2 years that have been hired, with 165 people. Mm-hmm. Was that, I'm just curious, net new on the 42, or were they replacements?
Oh, a lot of them were replacements of the 75 who had come. So in Gardena, we had 80% turnover in 17-18, and then we had 60% turnover in 18-19.
Is that normal?
No.
No, I can't.
Well, actually, for a lot of charter schools, high turnover is like recently speaking with Ed Nimby, they had something like 40 to 50% at every school site. So it's not unheard of, but it's definitely not normal for ECS.
It's not good.
We're good.
What is the reason for high turnover?
We've had four principals at Gardena in 4 years. That's really hard. There's been a lot of change management. So I'm optimistic about the role that Dave can play in stabilizing the course and his commitment to staying there very long term. So that's exciting. And I think also, you know, we're going through change management. So some of this I take full responsibility for, and some of it was very intentional. So some of that's what's happened here in home office to get it coming.
Oh, that's actually a very good question. Was voluntary versus involuntary?
I should have that
data
for you.
Yeah. That'd be very interesting.
But definitely not, you know, nobody ever aspires to that percentage.
Oh, it's so much resource out of your world.
Yep.
The amount of time and effort you have to put in your team have to put into it.
And retraining. So then we see below that our enrollment and waitlist data. So right now, the high school is at 525, which is full capacity for the high school. Gardena is slightly below, it's below capacity, which is 360. And Inglewood is very close to capacity. And then you see the applications that we have in hand for each school. The high school's application number is wonderful. And Inglewood for this year's, so this is for ninth graders only.
Okay.
Is there anything you guys want to share with us? I want to encourage you to.
We're sorry.
Thank you.
We're so sorry.
Next time we'll see you.
We're struggling with the numbers.
We're struggling, yeah.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
So, we were just looking at the numbers that said 71% of the board are people of color.
I'm not sure there's 71% of us that are people of color.
But so we were getting caught up in
that too.
We were getting caught up in how is it by the person, is it how the person defines
themselves?
Or is it how the world sees that person?
Right.
I think it was based on the world sees that person, but I think there's definitely different definitions of
people
of
color
within people of color.
What is the definition? Is it Black, Hispanic, Asian, American, Pacific Islander, and or multiracial?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I kind of take a little exception to that because when you add in and or multiracial, you are adding in people like me then, right? I'm pretty sure I'm not included in the 71% because the world sees me as white and I am white, you know, but I'm multiracial.
Mm-hmm. I welcome us to continue this conversation.
I would love to. Yeah,
but we're sorry.
But I hear you. As we're recruiting board members and the people who will be joining us at the next board meeting, our goal is to have more representation of people who reflect the population we serve.
Absolutely.
But I do think that there are definitely different people who would get recognized as people of color who in some contexts and people who don't in others. And that's something that I struggle with myself because I think in many contexts.
You're white.
I am, but in many contexts I'm not. I've been discriminated against and being from Iran. And
so have I.
So I'm just saying that there's a lot of different variations within that. But
that's an ethnicity versus a race. And so like all of these discussions are like swirling right now, right?
Yeah.
Not just VCS, in the world. Because how do we define diversity? How do we define, you know, race versus ethnicity?
And people of color.
Yeah.
Other communities.
People of color, yeah.
Well, plus, you know, maybe 3% of our students are black or Latino. Why does it matter that, you know, a person of color is here, if there is, how does that help us?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, I don't think it does. It's a really good point.
It's a good point, but I do think there are ways in which, people from populations who have experienced being part of a minority or that you can relate to and connect with the student population that we serve.
And that's a larger conversation, though, because, you know, then you're kind of getting into exactly, and the equity issues and whatnot. But again, you know, being a black person in America is different than being a black person in Africa.
Mm-hmm.
So you, when you really got to drill that down, it's very, very different.
Mm-hmm. And race is different than ethnicity, and so I think we need to consider that in the conversation too when we're talking about our student body. That our ethnicities don't matter to the black child who's
right.
in seventh grade struggling with math, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Because to that kid, we look white. Even though we can relate to some of the things, or we can say we're not, we don't identify all the time with being white, the world sees us as white.
And even so, then you also have to get into the, you know, the issues of privilege.
Privilege, yeah. Exactly.
Whether you're white, black,
exactly.
whatever. And that's a big deal. We're sorry.
That's totally
critical and what we're facing.
Yeah, and it's very much part of the conversation
yeah.
we'll be having with Kenjis.
Cool.
So that's why it's important for everyone to be here and for us to move forward with that conversation. Absolutely. Does someone find the fact that we are reporting this data offensive, or is that? Is that something that I'm sensing in that?
I wouldn't call it offensive. Just really inaccurate.
Inaccurate.
I would say it's inaccurate. But actually, you said it was more inaccurate than I did.
I did. I started it. Sorry.
I hear is that we need to have a clear definition of how it's being represented, and then ensure that. That definition is
absolutely
reflected in the number.
Because I'm also pretty sure we mean, when we say multiracial, we mean like black Hispanic or you know, Islander and Hispanic or Latino. We're not talking about, we're also talking
Greek,
about
Spanish.
A little bit of white, black, but more leaning towards, you know, the black community, right?
Thank you.
To call spade a spade, so. I just don't want us to misrepresent here. It's not
mm-hmm.
offensive at all. It's just an inquiry. And
mm-hmm.
and I think it's a good discussion point. How are
Absolutely.
We defining race? Because when we go out to the public and we say 67% of our
home
office.
But what we're seeing in terms of staff is self-representation. So when they were asked on their identity in CalPADS, that's self-representation.
So maybe you should follow the same
for board members.
Yeah, that would be.
And knowing what that is, I don't know what that
is. No, I think
is.
There's
knowing
a consistency. I think it's important.
You're right.
Okay.
Keep moving.
Sure.
Yeah. Enrollment and waitlist data. We already went through that a little bit, but if you could see that in Gardena, that number is low. Our application number is at 113 at this moment. That's because that parent liaison position has been open for a very long time and was just recently hired. But we have a very active strategy and we're getting lots of applications in daily. So we're optimistic we're going to be able to get it well beyond the 120 number by the day that we do our lottery.
So these applications are for the 2021?
Exactly.
Oh, that's why I was confused.
Yeah, sorry. And then we already went over the fundraising goal with Julie, but you can see we're less than 73% of the year through, and we're at 73% of our goal. and that 67% of the board members have given, so that's just something that to be conscious of. We don't have our green goals yet, but we're very close to having a goal that will track our green goals, and we'll be able to set numbers for that, so that's very exciting, and it's going to be linked to our system, so it's not going to require extensive tracking capabilities. And then we've talked to some extent about the high school and partnership development. So any questions on the benchmark chart?
Other than you who assesses over this, who else finds it to be useful?
I think Allison finds it very useful. Jeremiah finds it very useful.
I do.
Benchmark.
I mean, for principals, it's overwhelming, but it's very useful. It's because our data is right in front of our faces, and so especially they're like, oh, well, I'm not sure if you're aware of how many applications. Like, oh, no, I know. But I'm really, like, on it because I know that I'm held accountable, and so then it trickles out to my staff. So
I didn't. That was a dream answer. and Farnaz happens at this meeting tonight, I'm going to go
home and get my hair. Farnaz pushed me on the 3D one item, which is the sustainability one. She's like, everyone else has something measurable. You need to have something measurable, too. And I'm like, and we had a conversation at facilities last night as well, which was, you know, how do we set those goals? So we brainstormed a little bit about it.
And it's in fair for our teachers, because we hold our teachers accountable. Like tomorrow I'm having a teacher evaluation conversation with them, and so we're talking about why calibration and rubrics and evaluations are important, and so I can also bring this to light. Like, I'm also held to a standard as well, so from students all the way up. So I'm going to leave. Have a great day.
Thank you. Have a good day.
Safe journey. Thank you.
Be safe.
Thank you.
Keep breathing.
Thank you.
So we're significantly over time, and I'm going to, we have a study session that's supposed to focus on our 5-year strategic priorities. Given what we have a consent agenda after that, and nothing after that. So it's like consent agenda and the upcoming dates. So for that reason, I'm going to recommend we just spend 20 minutes on this one? 30?
Max 30.
Max 30. So Jeremiah, can you keep us to 30 minutes on the...
Yes.
Okay, thank you. So as we're looking at this, so last month, we looked at the student outcomes, and then addressing inequities was the last month's meeting, and so for this month's meeting, we want to look at improve organizational strength. And if you can remember the questions that we want you to answer, or are these the right actions? Is there anything that you see that shouldn't be here? And are the measures that we're using to track these behaviors the right measures? So what I'm going to ask you to do is spend 5 minutes reviewing this whole section. So on the second page, improve organizational strength. You'll see that on the far left-hand side, it says improve organizational strength. Kathy, right here. It says
it's actually page 3, but it's the second page.
Oh, no, I'm already there.
Oh.
Okay, and what you're looking at is page 3 and 4 for 5 minutes. And reviewing it with the guise of, are these the right actions? Is anything missing? Everything under year 0, I'll remind you, is what we accomplished last year. Year 1 is this year, so the things that we've been focused on in year 1, and then in years out are year 2 and year 3 through 5. So any questions before we jump in?
You want us to focus the next 5 minutes on year 1, correct? All across?
I would go year, personally, if I have 5 minutes, I would look at year 1, 2, 3 through 5, and then.
Thank you for the guidance.
Can you show me on one hand how much more time you need? Two more minutes. Okay, two more minutes. That is 5 minutes, so one more minute.
Your brain's on fire.
Mine, yeah. Is that two seconds?
I can't think.
Okay. If we, do you guys want a minute to talk to someone next year, or can we jump right in and talk about it as a group? Yeah. Jeremiah, can you
track 10 minutes to this? Yes.
Okay. Who wants to jump in? What stands
out? Are these the right actions? I have a question, actually. Yes. So I'm looking at year 2019-2020, and it says, under human resources, implement Alder Partnership to strengthen teacher pipeline for hard-to-hire roles. Alder Partnership, is that a group?
It's a recruitment mechanism where we're going to be utilizing, we've already actually recruited people who are paras right now,
okay,
who want to become credentialed teachers,
mm-hmm,
and then we pay them for 1 year as paras to participate in this credentialing program. They pay a small amount, a much smaller amount than they would, and after this 1 year, they receive a teaching credential.
Okay.
And
do you remember Alder?
I don't. I didn't. Was it a donor or somebody?
No, no. So Alder, you want me to
go for it?
So Alder came to us a couple years ago as a program that grew out of Aspire.
Okay.
And Alder
gotcha.
Is called really Alder University.
Gotcha. Okay.
And Aspire
gotcha.
Is a charter network
right. okay.
developed this program inside it and then
gotcha.
Spun this off.
Yeah,
as a credentialing program.
LEOC had a similar thing where they were channeling paraeducators and giving them training in professional development and incentivizing them to become teachers. But yeah, I just was not familiar with who all there was.
So you're familiar with the governor's budget, but I'll just share more broadly that it's like the one area of additional funding that's in the governor's budget is teacher recruitment mechanisms like this one. So we're hoping to get funding for this. But for each Alder person that we get through this program, it's an additional cost of $15,000. They would be working 4 days a week as a para, but they'd also be training to become a teacher during that time. So it's not really like we would have to have an additional para in each of those situations. And so it's about a $60,000 cost in 1 year. But the expectation is that we would have teachers who were trained within, committed to the organization, and also in areas that are hard to place.
So are you, I'm assuming you're familiar with like residency models, because there's similar to that, although it sounds like an intern, but there are a lot of, like for example, like we have a residency program that we just started, and we have 10 special ed teachers that are going to be residents next year. And they'll be placed in high-need LAUSD schools. And so the money is coming from a combination of the state and the school district.
Mm-hmm.
So, when you said partnerships, I was just curious because I don't know If that's something, I mean, it's easy to do when you're a large district with multiple places to place people.
Mm-hmm.
But then again, you know, I was just curious, if, you know, thinking about just, you know, some other ideas maybe, or just something to think about, I don't know.
So LMU and Chapman,
also have them, yeah. But there, you know, there's a lot of, I think it's Bank Street that is the
mm-hmm.
organization that's been funding, you know, is a partner with all of this as well.
Mm-hmm.
I'll talk to you offline about this one for additional possibilities.
Yeah, love
the idea. I wrote down.
Yeah, it's just interesting.
Yeah. Who is the angel investor we had or still have?
Lynch.
Wasn't his name Alder?
Aldridge.
Aldridge. Oh, okay.
Other thoughts, considerations, things that are true that should be cut, or are they the right option?
I have a question on the human resources in 19. Continue to research potential child care partners.
One of the things that people have brought to us is like the idea of we should open up some kind of child care to serve all these teachers and leaders we have that are newly parents. And when we went through this process, we very clearly stated
yeah.
the things that we are not doing.
Okay.
And that was one of them.
Yeah.
But in clearly stating that, so that's the what are we not doing,
right.
One of the ideas.
I didn't see that either.
Where is it?
Where is it?
At
the
very end.
The last page.
So what are we not doing? Not opening an elementary school, not planning to expand beyond four schools, not likely to merge with another provider in the next 5 years,
okay.
and
gotcha.
Not opening a preschool or daycare.
Okay.
Right? And so it's being clear on what you're not doing is a really important thing so that people stop creating these fantasies about things as well.
Yeah.
So the idea was that we create partnerships so that we can lead the staff need while not delivering that for the other.
Is a whole different animal.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Which I don't have any propensity. Like, I want to do what we do well.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
As well, you
taking
should.
On anything
yeah.
as well, you should.
So, no elementary school, even though
yeah.
it would be nice if our students came here with more of the foundation.
So, just a general question. When you say strategic priorities, there are things that will still get done that aren't priorities, right? So,
mm-hmm.
if you take something off, it can still get done, it's just not, is that a fair assessment? Or?
Well, the priority is a single thing that we are completely, everybody in the organization needs to be aware of and that we are all working on and talking about and bringing to the forefront at all times. Then there's the annual work, things that have to happen regardless all the time. We still have to report, we still have all the compliance efforts and HR efforts, annual hiring, all of those things. And then we have minor builds, which are depicted on here as something that two or three people might lead, or four people might lead across multiple sites, but it's not going to touch everyone. And not everyone needs to be aware of it, and we don't need to constantly be bringing it up.
That's what I'm asking. So, like the website, that involves everyone.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. What you're going to see here, though, is that if I'm putting it here, if we're putting it here, our expectation is that we're going to be held accountable. Doing it unless we remove it intentionally and talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot more than our priority here, right? But there's also not as much as many strategic plans might hold. So like some 20-page plan.
What's that?
Okay, so then I'm confused.
Affinity groups are groups that connect based on race or gender or that have been proven to increase and improve tenure.
Okay, I'm confused then on the year 3 to 5.
Mm-hmm.
Why isn't the high school number 2?
That's down on goal number 4. Expand to meet community needs.
Oh, sorry. Okay. And then I thought, why isn't like professional development, especially special ed development, in there?
That is depicted. Professional development is under strengthening student outcomes, and then special ed is largely depicted under addressing inequities in enrollment and achievement.
Under year 3 to 5?
No, under a different goal.
It's under goal number 2. So the first 2 pages are about student outcomes.
Under these.
Oh, gotcha. Okay.
And those are the two goals we covered in the last two board meetings.
Did we talk about, I can't remember if we talked about, like maybe creating a rover position, a teacher who fills in, fills.
That's substitute.
That is exactly what we've budgeted for next year.
Oh.
Is a special ed rover position, because we were paying so much more to work with direct ed, because they charge significantly more for that kind of substitute. And then also, like, the idea would be that we have them at the home, funded by the home office. They could provide professional development or coaching or co-teaching and support, and then whenever someone's out, step in to support them. Especially with such a young staff that at this level, at this point in their lives, it's becoming more and more critical.
That's human resources, just a little topic there.
The ongoing staff recruitment.
Sorry, I should have had human resources at the top of that.
Okay, it's just more.
Yeah, thank you.
So I want to push on you a little bit here. So this year's call is very nicely fleshed out, mm-hmm. and a lot of time on it, talking about it. The next couple of columns, years 2 through 5, are just pretty much placeholders. It looks like to me. You're going to continue to survey. You're going to continue your efforts to do that.
That's a good push.
I think, you know, I'm sure later in this year you'll be fleshing out this column, mm-hmm. and at that point I think it would be productive to have this kind of a conversation. This mm-hmm. is just, I mean, these are just really not, maybe it's just this one goal.
The other goals were much different than this, but the you know, like, you don't, when you know that something's a weakness in operations, you don't be like, oh, we'll fix that in 4 years. That's part of it, is that we're trying to fix everything in operations that we see now.
Okay.
But realistically, there may be some of this that we're not able to successfully implement. And now there's new stuff, like new payroll provider.
On that note, Paylocity has a platform for applicant tracking system. So I don't really.
Yes, I did know it, but did you like it?
We haven't started using it. Okay. We're still on a previous company. That is unrelated to pay, but we're moving to.
Thank you.
Terminated people. I'm sorry. I just wanted to ask a quick question.
Yeah.
Alder, what credential programs do they have?
Alison, do you know that?
All of them.
Okay, because I got an email from Cammie about the teachers that wanted to add a mod to severe to their mild to moderate credential.
Yeah,
so they have,
but Alder's only for people getting their credential. They don't have, like, if you need to add or something like that. They don't have all those kinds of things.
But they're trying to get an actual separate credential, not an additional authorization.
Exactly.
The ones that I believe Cammie emailed you about an additional authorization,
okay.
not a new credential teacher.
Okay.
So we have people who have mild to moderate
right.
who want to go
to add. Yeah, they want to add the mild to severe.
Okay. Any other things stand out? Anything missing based on what you're seeing as a weakness?
Clinic, we can talk about, is there something about clinic that would be in the distal?
Clinic would also be under the ones as
well. In the index? Doesn't matter, it's what we're going to talk about.
I don't think
something to consider.
So what's your planning cycle to kind of bring this up to the level of detail that you have?
I can't hear you again.
I'm sorry, what's the organization's planning cycle that kind of
fleshes
this out to the level that we have for the current year?
So the time period that we did this was in the May through June period of last year, and then we brought it back to the start of the year, so it'll be the same kind of thing.
Yeah.
But since this was a 5-year plan, some change, but I don't think it's going to see such a huge amount of change in the other goal areas that we already covered.
Yeah.
But it'll definitely keep coming back to you.
I'm assuming there are also milestones established for these.
They're not depicted. A lot of them are not depicted on the benchmark chart. So a question would be, is there something off of this that you see? So like right now, we do have our human resource goal depicted on our benchmark chart of representation and of, and it's we're depicting hires and vote. But if there was something from this that you think should be on there, we have the sustainability one, but it's still not fleshed out and hopefully will be in the next month. I wonder, Jeremiah, if we might have one for compliance. I don't know how that would look, but we've significantly improved compliance and are consistently getting much better feedback about our compliance efforts.
I wonder if there's, sometimes so many other things are, did you do it or not do it? I wonder how you get a number, like, how do you measure success in areas that are more concrete?
Maybe for areas under improve organizational check strength, what we should do on this is have a colored check next to everything that's been accomplished the next time it's presented to you. And everything that's pending, you would still see.
That's a good idea.
That's good.
Yeah. On which, on this?
On this.
Oh, yeah, what I did for...
Facilities.
What I did for facilities, did that work for
yes.
you guys?
Yes.
So I colored green, meaning we did it, orange, meaning it's in progress, and yellow, meaning, or red, meaning we're...
Where are you talking about?
On another document.
On a committee meeting.
I blew up the facility stuff on a facilities plan.
But that does flow with, you know, dates and miles.
Yeah.
Not just color, but okay. When is it supposed to be accomplished? That's more goal oriented than priority oriented, but some of these areas are actually specific items. The website gets revised in the first quarter, so by March 31st, you know that's what's supposed to happen. When is updating collateral supposed to happen?
Yeah.
Just where are you at and when is it going to happen?
Mm-hmm.
But those are, and then you're starting to get into goals versus priorities.
Yeah, you're so right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
that's where I'm struggling with it. Is the difference between a goal and a strategy or a priority.
And I think on the other sections, you've done a better job of sticking to bigger visionary goals without the actions listed under them, whereas this section is a lot of actions.
Or strategies to get to, and maybe the actual measurement is satisfaction with HR on the survey, but like the survey that we sent out.
And that's on here. That's on the benchmark.
Right.
It's not satisfaction with HR, but it's satisfaction with home office services. Mm-hmm.
Right.
Okay. I think we're at time. Unless there's anything burning for anyone to communicate. Okay. So, Anthony, you're back.
Okay. Moving on to approved consent items A through J. Any discussion?
I'll move to approve with consent items A through J.
Do I have a second?
Janina, I'll second the motion.
And now, do we have any discussion around those consent items A through J?
What's the home and hospital instruction policy?
That's what we were talking about for the high school, where we have been sending credentialed teachers to deliver instruction to students who are in hospital care for years that have not gotten that revenue for those services.
So are we changing that process, or are we finding revenue?
We got the policy from Lawndale and adapted it. Jeremiah did the work. And the idea is that we're changing the policy going forward so that we can receive ADA funding for the students who we are delivering those services to. So they've been going to the hospital for years.
Now.
Any other questions regarding the consent items A through J? Okay, since we had a motion and a second motion, let's go around the table.
Kathy?
Kathy?
Aye.
Denise, aye.
Janina, aye. Cena, aye.
Travis, aye.
Ken, aye.
Anthony, aye. So the consent items A through J have been approved.
And so upcoming dates, we have the board meeting on the 16th and then one on the 9th. Just to prepare you, because of the LCAP requirements, there will need to be a special board meeting for another review and approval process of our LCAP. So that'll probably happen in May. Then we have committee meetings that are scheduled. And then student-led tours that we welcome you to invite guests to. We've had some really great connections made. Again, Denise, thank you for introducing you. You came through on the tour and got excited. But if you guys have people who you think would be excited by what they see, please send them our way, and also give me a heads up if you want me to be there to say hi and talk to them afterwards.
Still working on the other.
If you want Allison to be there, or then that's it. And is it now time for appreciation? Or feedback or
Well, I'll start by appreciating that. I just so appreciate the school leaders for how focused they are on measuring and making changes, figuring out what works, using data, trying new things. I mean, it's just, they don't rest. I mean, there's no sitting back and coasting here. They're just so devoted to making a difference.
To add to that, what you and your team gone through to prepare for your petitions,
and
to present those petitions, it's, you know, obviously you thank us for going to that 3 hours, the 1,193 pages.
Yeah.
I just, in three times over, right? It's just,
I think that the people who truly deserve the credit for that are Cami, Allison, Jeremiah, and Dave was intensively involved as well. I think that, you know, they've very much led that effort. I've been minimally involved, though I've been at few meetings, and I truly could not have done it without them, and I'm grateful for their leadership.
It's amazing. I just think that your team didn't have to do that work. What could they have been doing, right? And what you have done even with that responsibility. So I just appreciate the fact that you continue to move the ball forward with that taking up so much time and resources.
I always appreciate the open and honest discussions that we have. I think that are thought-provoking too, mm-hmm. and that we have the space to have it. And you know, even at the last board meeting that we shared, like that, we're all very receptive to hearing and different parts of this equation we're trying to solve.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right, so we are moving to adjourn the meeting. Do I have a motion to adjourn the meeting?
A motion to adjourn.
A second. Okay, Kathy?
Aye.
Denise, aye.
Janina, aye. Cena, aye.
Travis, aye.
Anthony, aye. So adjourning the meeting has been approved.
Thank you. Can we do it in time?
Oh, yeah.
7:46.
You're right there.
Thank you all.
Good job, team.
Jeremiah, did you end it?
Yes. Yeah, it's over.
No, what I'm saying is really behind the 47. No comment? No comment?
No comment? I'm wondering, and I'm sure you were all over this, but how progress today compares with prior years.
In terms of this time.
Well, I mean, yeah, here's our budget, and here we are this year. Last year, we were 90% there.
Yeah, that's a really good question. I think that's something worth looking into, and I can definitely look into that and share with you.
Right.
And I think it really also varies depending on whether we're opening a school type of year. And so as the dollars come in, they're being brought in for the school, and as it relates to some events, we're able to pursue the corporate funding, and there are people who have been consistently supportive, but it's not something that I'm making a vested
sure.
But definitely, they're out there, you know, and
can I chime in on this one?
Of course.
So Julie is a single person right now, is raising more than we have historically raised with multiple people supporting development. And a big piece of that has been strategically directing her resources and her time to funding efforts that bring in more revenue.
used to put a lot of time into corporate funding, and I think it, at its height, it may have been at $20,000 or $30,000 more than this. And if we spend less time on it and direct that funding towards grants, we've seen much more revenue from the time associated. So it's been about strategically using our time so that we increase revenue long term.
I mean, as with anything, you know, it, the basis of it is relationships, but I think with corporate funding, a lot of it is relationships, right? And so I think historically we've made a lot of board members also, so it has those relationships that can make sense. Whereas a lot of the foundation funding, it's a matter of going through the process and always through that.
Shame with all the, you know, organizations that we do have in the area that we can't find one or two strategic partners that, you know, want to commit to partnering, you know, on a 3-year basis or something. I mean, all these auto companies who are trying to get to the next level of sustainability, and the aerospace company, I wish there was a way we could.
Having come from an organization that leverages that type of funding more, much of what they're seeking is marketing benefits and marketing capital associated with it. And while we don't have a very strong marketing base to most of those industries in the same way that other organizations I've worked for would, so that diminishes their intent.
It's like we should petition Honda helpers.
Well, they have worked with us before. They got 40,000 from them actually, 4 years ago.
Oh, so.
Did they do a video?
Yeah, we did a whole video, and the purple Honda dealers came out.
But would it cost a lot to send an email or make a phone call to someone over there to say, hey, just touching base, like, well, maybe identify three companies that are really in our sweet spot, you know, and if it doesn't go anywhere, it doesn't go anywhere, but maybe it's worth that hour of effort.
Well, the thing with Honda is that we were able to get connected to them through our partnership with EcoMedia. Remember, they were sort of an intermediary that managed that, so we didn't have actually have direct contact with Honda, and EcoMedia has since been disbanded. So, but to your point, Denise, I also want to recognize that we no longer have a development committee, and that was a committee that some board members sat on, and so, you know, in the interim of not sort of reviving that, I would love, you know, any board members who have invested interest in grants as well as corporate sponsorships, if that's something that you are interested in and want to support, that I would love to meet for coffee and have a dedicated conversation around that. If you're interested in meeting over some of our grant proposals, getting feedback, would love that support. So just let me know.
Julie, we did, and you know, from time to time we do get leads. Like, I think you just have a lead from Bernard's on Lockheed. So there are, from time to time, we get leads, and we do get Chevron funding each year. I don't know if we put that into grants or corporate.
It's a grant.
So sometimes what you think is a corporation might actually be in a grant because they have a grant program.
They have a foundation.
Right. So, but a Lockheed, I don't know which one that would go into, but it's not sponsorship.
That would probably be a foundation as well, because it's different to get a corporate sponsorship versus corporate grants
foundation. Yeah.
Some of this is that type of thing.
Yeah.
And also, we're not an event organization. We hardly do any events of the same nature that you would have, like a title sponsor and whatnot. So, any other questions?
I don't want you to spin your wheels, because I think you've been doing a great job with the grant stuff.
So. Right, and just so you know, our perspective part of our discussion was, we understand, you have a development team before, and I think we need to play a critical part when it comes to creating these possible partnerships as a board.
I don't know, maybe it's a crazy thought. I don't know if it happens or if it can happen, but is there something that we can do with our students in like a social impact thesis or a program that we coach and develop them and they go out and pursue on behalf of the school to raise funds? Is that against any, to have actual students learn how to do it and then go out and do it on the behalf of the school?
You know, our students already do the thesis every year. It could be an opportunity that we might offer to the high school if anybody wants to partner and do development for their thesis. That would be
I would think that they're our best cheerleaders going out to organizations and raising funds. The companies and organizations out there would actually appreciate that the students themselves. I don't know if it's, but
there's probably some unintended consequences around that too. Yeah. You see more for sending our students out to try to, you know, fill our budget gap or something.
No, I don't know what the end of it is. It came to me.
Thank you for sharing.
But, definitely.
So I think just in closing, I also wanted to thank all of you just for your continuous support. And, you know, and again, we have routine tours that happen and the events that you all know about. So always an opportunity to invite folks and bring folks in your circle. And then I think everyone already signed some of the cards that I've left. And then following my presentation, I'll be sending an email to each of you. So we've identified at least 1 to 2 donors for each of you to actually make a thank you call to. And these are folks who either gave this current year or gave in the past fiscal year. And so I sort of outlined like a mini script for you, gave you their number as well as some context about their relationship to us and the history of giving. So if you can follow up on that and then shoot me an email when you're done. And based on your conversation, if you found out something new about them, then just let me know so we can add that to the list. All right.
How are we doing sport commitment contributions?
I think
67.
Yeah.
Can you,
so it's on the
screen. Can you find those of us that are
doing it? Yes, I'll send you an email.
I'm sure I'm one of them, but I
mean, on the tab, there's also a board tab, so you can see who's given it to what amount.
Thank you so much.
Thank
you, Jim. If you guys want to take a 5-minute bio break and eat and get drinks, are you guys in support of that, or do you want to keep going?
I'm
going to
keep going.
Okay.
Just keep going.
Maybe we can finish early.
Just go.
Just check in.
Are we taking a break?
We are not.
No, they want to keep going.